Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
Eight weeks of fantasy football in the book, getting ready for the ninth week. 9 weeks into the fantasy football season, you're listening to The Takeover presented by Scout Fantasy. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, along with my man each and every week, high stakes fantasy football Hall of Famer, Chris McCarroll. Chris, I thought I had this thing figured out. I really did. And then last Sunday happened. Week 8 took place. The injuries, the inconsistency, just more questions, Chris. Just when we thought we had things figured out, here we go once again, getting critical time in fantasy football, man. Getting ready to go into the month of November where really you start to make your run, and it seems like we're right back to ground zero.
Corey, that Sunday can only be described as carnage. I haven't seen a Sunday like that in fantasy football, I don't think ever, where these big injuries just wipe teams out. And, you know, this week, these last couple of days, I'm just going through teams' rosters in my leagues and just, you know, checking teams off. Like, 2-3 guys, like, that played in their starting lineups just gone for the season. You know, like, teams just got destroyed this week with injuries. And not only this week, these last couple of weeks with the Jamal Charles injury and the Arian Foster. Look at the guys that went down, Corey. Unbelievable. There's no running backs left. In 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks.
I mean, you wiped out.
In 3 weeks, you lost Charles, Foster, and Bell.
And now
they
Forte.
They could have went in some drafts, Chris. They probably went 1, 2, and 3. Well, you know, earlier part of the season before Foster with his, you know, his injury thing. But why not?
Oh, and you know what? If you want to take it one further, when Foster went down last week, you could consider him a top 5 or 6 fantasy running back for the rest of the season. He was a stud, you know? So then when you put those 4 guys together, that's like 4 out of the top 7 guys at the position, other than Gurley and Freeman and maybe Peterson if you want. But that's 4 out of 7. That's unheard of, Corey. I don't – that's, you know, at some point, you know, that's not skill thing. You lost studs off your team. And now you got to suffer, you know. Hopefully your depth is, you know, good enough to withstand this. But, oh, my God, it's been crazy. And just speaking with other high-stakes players this week, you know, just hearing their stories about, oh, my God, I had this team where I had a Arian Foster, Le'Veon Bell combo, and I just lost both of them in the 2 weeks. Like, you know, it's sad to hear, but, like, I think we all need, like, a fantasy rehab or something, Corey.
You know, it's you look at some of the rosters that you're putting out there with Orleans Darquois in it, and I'm like, what's going on? Why? How did this happen? When did I become this fantasy player? But the injury situation has been brutal. Performances haven't been up to snuff, but now's the time to, well, first of all, talk about a tremendous waiver wire tonight. You have situations where fat budgets are going to rest in peace tonight, if D'Angelo Williams is on there, somebody's going to empty the tank for a guy that could be a top 10 running back the rest of the way. We're going to see high bids from Jeremy Langford, even though Matt Forte should be back, but we're still going to see high bids for Jeremy Langford. We're going to see big bids for Stevie Johnson, Malcolm Floyd. The list goes on and on. I know myself right now, the situation I'm in, a lot of my leagues are packed up. Everybody's in the middle. So I'm talking about in my 14-team league, team 12 in points is separated from team 3 in points by less than 100 points. Everybody's in the mix. And everybody's got the fab budget left. they're going in tonight. I think that's the way that we look at it this weekend. I mean, this Fab run.
Oh, absolutely, Corey. And, you know, you hit on basically all the names right there. It's crazy when you go through some leagues and you don't even see these guys, though, available.
Already. Darshon Emmer is not available in leagues already.
Corey, D'Angelo Williams is not available in not one league that I'm in this year. Not one. I went through every team.
I haven't been one of mine.
I kind
of
solid. You know, I got some money to spend, you know, and no D'Angelo Williams. And to be honest, maybe a small handful, Langford's available. But, I mean, that's just the type of leagues that we play in, Corey. You know, for our high-stakes listeners that are listening to us, they know what, you know, what we're talking about. And you know, they run to the waiver wire and go, oh, please be available, especially the Matt Forte owner, you know, or the Le'Veon Bell owner. And, you know, hey, they're not seeing their names on the list. And they're going, oh, my God, people already rostered these guys. So someone got a nice treat, you know, this week already to install a new running back starter. But, you know, they're really not available. But you know what? These guys, you got to empty the tank. Like you said, this is week 9. Most leagues that I'm in are all like yours, Corey. They're a lot of teams middled in. There's really nobody that's taken away, ran away with the league. You know, you still have a great shot to finish top 2, 3, get yourself into the playoffs, and a pickup like any of these guys that we just mentioned could take you there. You know, they could get you over the top. The one thing I want to point out, Corey, and you said it earlier with the Forte Langford, you know, issue. I'm not so sure that Matt Forte is back in 2 weeks. You know, that's just my opinion. I don't know how you feel. The Bears and Fox, John Fox, they just don't give like a real, like, you know, timetable. They just, oh, he's hurt, you know, week to week. But for the injury that he, you know, that he took, a sprained MCL, you know, you could be looking at 4 to 6 weeks. And before you know, you go the whole regular season in fantasy and there's no Matt Forte. So I put a preference on Langford tonight for sure.
No doubt Langford is a player that we'll see come in at some big numbers. And, you know, where I have a little bit left going all the way in. Because on top of that, we're getting in must-win weeks or must-put-up-big-point weeks. And it's 16 on bye this week going into week 9. I mean, you talk about really just load up the DFS account and try to recoup that way, because it's situations this week that you can have Todd Gurley as a sure bet, Julio Jones, you know, DeAndre's on break, whatever. And if you're sitting there looking at the team, the Patriots have a nice matchup if you're a Brady Gronk Edelman owner. Other than that, you're like, how am I going to piece this together this week?
With glue. I mean, it's crazy, Corey. It really is. You know, I was going through my DraftKings running back, you know, positions. This is it. Like, for the elite backs, like, there's nothing, you know. Right or wrong, you must have did the same this week. And, you know, you're used to seeing a good 10, 12 names that are like, oh, man, I could build teams around this guy. And you look at the top with the Devontae Freeman and obviously Todd Gurley. And after that, you're like, well, what am I looking at here? You know, it's a running back position. We say it every week. It is a disaster this year, and it's getting worse by the week, with each of these studs going out week by week.
I put on SiriusXM Fantasy today. I was talking about basically making the point to Ronis during one of the breaks on the show. I was like, I almost wish I could set the lineup with no running back. That's how bad it's gotten. I'll start 3 tight ends. I got 3 tight ends I can start. I don't have no running back. I have situations this week where I'm, you know, like, oh, my God, I need Joe Ramsey to play. And obviously the Cowboys cut him. He's a different case altogether, but, you know, you're looking at some weeks where you're pitiful, pitiful running back situation. I do get my guy Tyrod Taylor back this week, so, and I like his matchup, and he normally seems to get it done, especially when he's playing at home. So, you know, we'll get into that in some more situations as we continue
battle
the program.
Battle survival, man. We're playing a game of Survivor this year, man. It's more about Survivor and staying healthy than it is a skill game this year, in my opinion.
No doubt. I agree with you 100% on that one because, like you said, it's basically to the point where we're looking at last man standing, you know, in certain situations or, you know, maybe you were one of the guys that, you know, maybe you got a Romo Dez combo that can carry you from, you know, fans.
I wish they would come back,
you.
Corey. Yeah. I wish Tony Romo would come back already.
Yeah, Tony Romo. Did Romo practice today, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he?
He's probably on the sideline just flipping the ball around, and they consider that, you know, whatever they consider it. But, you know, they say he's still on track for week 11, and, I mean, I would like to see him back week 11, try and salvage some of my Dez Bryant teams. But it's crazy. You know, another huge injury, Corey, and we'll get into it, I'm sure, during the show, but never mind at the running back position. But I don't know how you got affected by it, but, man, I got destroyed with that Keenan Allen injury this week. I had a lot of good-looking teams coming down the stretch with Keenan Allen on it, and that hurt me bad too. And so, another major injury. It's tough, but hey, we got to keep going. That's the game we play.
No doubt, the situation. I really was not a player. I wasn't really in on Allen. I don't want to say I wasn't in on him, but I was drafting other wide receivers like that. I almost cussed just now, like that bum Mike Wallace. But that was a mistake. But
Mike Wallace.
You can have a fantasy twin for Mike Wallace. I'll start Cole Beasley over Mike Wallace because at least I know Cole Beasley will get one. Mike Wallace, that donut last week. I don't want to get off on a tangent on that, but my goodness.
I hear you, Corey. But you just threw out Cole Beasley's name, and you know what? I have Cole Beasley sitting at the end of a couple of my benches, and he threw a zero last week too. Oh. It's tough, man.
He certainly
did. Yeah, Cole Beasley, I roster him as like my seventh or eighth wide receiver on the team just in case there's bye weeks. And, this is the guy who'll come in, he'll catch four balls, 35, 40 yards, just to, you know, fill a spot and get me into the next week. The guy's not even doing that now with how bad the Dallas quarterback situation is. Castle can't even break 100 yards. I mean, your team falling apart, Corey. Your team is desperate for quarterback help. Tony Romo might as well just suit up now and play whatever, you know, half-healed. You know, he might as well just get out there.
As long as they can protect you. You know what's so funny about it is they can ensure that he wouldn't get hit. He can do a better job than what's out there now, even if he's just like the official quarterback where they run the play and he just gets out the way and he walks down, does the huddle, and throws the football.
You know what? Just stand in the shotgun, and as soon as you get the ball, just throw slants or something just to make sure you don't get hit. Keep protection in or something. Just please let me see anybody, anybody but Castle and Whedon. It's terrible.
Situation should have been handled before coming into the season. And no, Tony Romo is a quarterback that is up in age, not to mention the fact you see him not be able to bounce back from some of these hits before, even though he has been tough throughout the course of his career. Speaking of that Dallas Cowboy team, Darren McFadden looks very good. He is running the football excellent. The offensive line is starting to gel and blowing people off the ball again, but he's seen a lot of eight-man fronts.
Yeah, he is, Corey, but you know what? He's giving you the 60 to 70 rushing yards. The key with him in PPR league, man, he's catching five or six balls every week for about 50 yards. It's like, you know, it's at the end of the day, he's got over 100 total yards with the catches, and he's up in the high teens, you know? And if he starts adding a couple, you know, a touchdown each week, you're looking at a guy that is your RB2 and maybe even your RB1. So, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I told you my love for McFadden going forward, and he's in my lineups every week now, and I like him going forward. Like I said, I mean, how can you not, especially with what the running back position looks like? You know, this is a guy that's getting 20-plus touches every game.
Yes, no doubt. I agree with you 100% on that. The player I really like a lot coming up so far, I mean, coming up on at least getting ready for the second half of the season. We'll talk about some of these week 9 contests. And Johnny Manziel is going to get the start this week for the Cleveland Browns as they're in Cincinnati, their rivals in the same state of Ohio. Cincinnati's 11.5-point favorite in this game. I kind of feel like Cleveland's going to play a better game than that, especially with Johnny Football back there. Travis Benjamin on the map big time. Yeah, I really do. I don't know.
Really?
About Johnny Manziel. I think Johnny Manziel has a couple big games with him. I'm not going to pick him up and roster up his quarterback over here. I'm not getting carried away. He can stay out there.
If he's going to do it, he's going to have to do it on the ground, running, Corey. You know, he's going to have his legs to get out of some sticky situations. But you know what? On a short week traveling, obviously they don't have to travel far playing Cincinnati, but I don't like this spot at all. I'm avoiding, not that I own a lot of Cleveland Browns, but I'm a Duke Johnson in a handful of leagues. I'm even sitting him this week. They have a lot of injuries. Hartline and Hawkins aren't going to play with concussions. Their defense is a complete mess with Joe Hayden and other guys in the secondary all out. The whole team has got concussions, actually, Corey. There's like 6 or 7 guys that are going to miss this game with a concussion. Cleveland Browns are in a bad spot. Manziel's in a bad spot. I think this is going to be a blowout. And I love, on the other side of the ball, every Cincinnati Bengal, I think, can have a huge game.
It's hard to call it with Tyler Eifert. I do like Hill Bernard this week. Obviously, those dudes in the running game with the game script looking the way it's going to be. But when you look at Tyler Eifert, he still seems like a slam dunk most weeks, but he'll drop a four on you every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're 100% right. I mean, he's, here's the thing, Corey. There's really nobody that is consistent weekly at the tight end position. If your name isn't Gronkowski, or even, surprisingly, Gary Barnage has been the most consistent tight end, he's reliable every week. Other than that, I mean, Eifert would probably be the next guy up, and Bates. You know, those are the two guys you would probably rely on the most. Eifert's had a lot of good games. He's had 2 stinkers from my memory, because I'm an Eifert owner. He's had a zero and a 4, like you said. So this game, you don't know who's going to eat the most. I actually love Jeremy Hill the most in this game.
Yeah.
I think they reestablish him. The Cleveland Browns can't stop anybody on the ground, and this is a perfect game for Jeremy Hill to really get rolling. And he's playing a lot more lately. Gio Bernard is playing less. I don't think this is a Gio Bernard game. I think it's a Hill game. And A.J. Green can do whatever he wants in this game, Corey. If Dalton and A.J. Green want to really put up some numbers, this is the game for them. A.J. Green's coming off a great game. But that's why I said last week, Corey, that, I really liked A.J. Green for the second half of the year. He had a monster game last week. I think he has another monster game right back here. And this Bengal team just keeps on rolling.
No doubt. I agree with you. This is a nice week for the Cincinnati Bengals offense, Andy Dalton, the whole crew. If you're playing in a tournament, which tight end would you prefer to own, Tyler Eifert or Gary Barnage?
Eifert. Even though I'm not in love with him this week and Barnage's been more consistent, I just, with Manziel throwing, pretty sure, Corey, that Manziel, the one game he played earlier, he didn't have good chemistry with Barnage, and Barnage suffered his numbers. But I would stay away from that. If McCown was playing this week, I would say Barnage probably, but I really don't trust Johnny Manziel, and I think they're going to try and slow this game down, try and run it a lot to try and keep Manziel out of harm's way. And you got to figure Cincinnati with the receivers all banged up on the outside. That the only guy they really got to focus on and take away is Barnage. But on the flip side of the ball, you got to take away too many options. There's not they have too many options, Cincinnati, to focus in on Eifert. So Eifert over Barnage for me in this game.
I agree with you on that one. Like you said, basically Johnny Football on the short week. It is tough going forward if he was to get a chance. I do like him though, but this is a situation right here that's not really the best, but I do think the Cleveland Browns have some fight in them this week. The Oakland Raiders are in Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. 48, nice big a number, nice big high fantasy total. I think it goes over 50 myself personally. Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Pittsburgh Steelers. Heath Miller also. Pittsburgh Steelers offense has a chance to really get rolling in this one at home. I think people will be off Ben in DFS because of the bad game last week. This is a good week to go to Ben and Brown. Of course, D'Angelo Williams is going to come with a nice high price if you win him tonight. Well, like if you win him, he probably won him months ago. But he gets a feature opportunity in Pittsburgh Steelers running game right now, as well as catching the football out of the backfield. So you like all your Steelers studs. Martavis Bryant does what Martavis Bryant does. And you look at the other side of the football, Chris, how impressive has it been? Oh, Heath Miller's price on DraftKings is $2,500 also. How impressive has, which is a disaster, but how impressive has the Oakland Raiders with Derek Carr and Amari Cooper and that offense been so far this season? West Coast team traveling east, I don't like the Raiders defensively, but I think Carr and Cooper can go out there and slug it out with Pittsburgh.
I think they can too, Corey, and this is the top game for me in daily this week. This is the game I have circled. This is a Steelers game, Corey. This is a passing game. You nailed it right on the head. Maybe people are going to be off of Roethlisberger this week in daily. He'll be my quarterback this week on 99% of my teams. I'm going all in on him. The Ben Antonio Brown stack this week, I love it. I'm going in on it. Oakland secondary is their weakness. Those two are going to eat. The total's nice and high. You got a West Coast team coming east for that 4-4 for a win. Oakland's been hot, no doubt about it. The passing offense with Carr, Cooper, and Crabtree are on fire. They're going to put up some pretty good numbers. I think this has got one of those 38-28 games written all over it. I love the over, like you said, on the gambling front. All in on that Steelers offense. Love it. I mean, you got to figure, just looking at this, Oakland is playing the run better. So maybe D'Angelo Williams doesn't have that great game out of the gate. I'd focus in on the big three of Brown, Martavis Bryant, and Heath Miller. And two out of those three guys would probably be in all my daily lineups this week with Roethlisberger. I'll go all in on this Steelers offense. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if they put up a big number, like I think they're going to, could lead to some money this week.
No doubt. And I feel the same way. Pittsburgh Steelers, I saw that. As soon as I started looking at the week 9 schedule, I circled that. Latavius Murray in the season-long league, listen, you probably don't have much better options. It's going to appear to be a Latavius Murray game. Of course, he's starting running back, so he's going to be in your lineup in the season-long league. But I would definitely advise you to temper your expectations on Lat Murray this week. But looking back to Murray, from where he was drafted, rounds 4, rounds 5, sometimes round 3, if you were aggressive and liked him a lot, but only that 4th, 5th round range, halfway through the season, do you kind of feel like Murray has lived up to the value?
That's a good question, Corey, because he started off great, I think, the first two games, right? He had two really good games out of the box. Everybody was starting to anoint him as the next coming, and everybody said, oh, what a steal. He was in draft. And then he fell off the face of the earth for the next 3 or 4 weeks. He got banged up with a shoulder, so he was missing some time. Then he came out
the
bye week.
Versus the Jets.
Yeah, and then he came back up, and boom, there you go. He had a big week last week. I'd say 50-50, Corey. You know, he's probably he's half his games were good and half his games were bad. So, you know, maybe his grade for the season and season-long is yet to be determined. He'll have to finish strong, and that'll make up, you know, everyone's decision on if he was a good pick this year or not.
We go from a fantasy-friendly contest to one not-so-fantasy-friendly. The St. Louis Rams in Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Minnesota actually a 3-point favorite in this contest. I just feel like St. Louis is just kind of playing very well right now, and Todd Gurley is rolling. 39.5 is the total in this one, Chris, with 21 of those going to the Minnesota Vikings, and I could not tell you where this 21 points is going to come from.
I can't either, Corey. And this is, you know, this is the battle. this is the battle of, you know, two up-and-coming teams. The Vikings are 5-2. The Rams are playing great football. They're going to be on the rise, especially with Gurley. But, you know, that point total at 39 is definitely keeping me away from this game. Everyone's going to be all in on Gurley again, I would think. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. The price did go up all over the industry. But,
sure.
You know. But
here's
the
thing, though.
He's still a player.
Yeah.
He's up to 9,000 on FanDuel.
I know. Crazy, yeah. And not crazy. I'm sorry. Actually, it's not crazy because this guy's the number one fantasy player right now in football. Number one fantasy running back. And number one overall player. Here's the thing, though, Corey, and I don't know if you'll agree with this with me. I was actually speaking to Pat Mayo on his show today about this. He asked me if he thought that, you know, Gurley would be a little less owned than he has in these past couple weeks. And I said, yeah, I do. Even though everybody wants a piece of Gurley right now, his matchups these past 3 weeks were golden. Golden. Everything was in place. You know, he was playing teams that could not stop the run, the Niners, the Browns, just terrible teams. You knew it was just a matter of how big his numbers were going to be. Well, now you go to Minnesota. This is 3-4 weeks in a row now that Gurley's put up huge numbers. Eventually, this Vikings defense is pretty good. This is the best defense that Gurley's going to see. And you've got to figure that they just say, listen, we're stacking the box, you know, with everything.
Because Nick Foles is not going to beat you. Trust me,
receiver.
I lived it the last 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Nick Foles is not going to beat you. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I want to jump off the Gurley bandwagon. I've been on him for 3 weeks in a row in all my lineups. I want to get off a week early and just see, you know, if I'm wrong, maybe, hey, listen, I know you know where I'm coming from. If I'm wrong, hey, I'm wrong. But I don't want to go back to Gurley this week. I like a lot of other options that are cheaper this week. And I'll stay off of Gurley. He probably has a good game. I just don't see the 150 yards, two touchdown type game coming in Minnesota against that defense this week.
And Minnesota, I see what you're saying, Minnesota, defensively. But Gurley is the offense now. He's going to dominate the touches.
Yeah.
For the St. Louis Rams this week. If St. Louis scores two touchdowns, there's a good chance Todd Gurley is going to score those two touchdowns.
100%. He is the offense. But after a couple of weeks now, you've got to figure that this Vikings team is like, listen, we're putting 8-9, and I don't care. We'll put the whole defense in the box. Just take away Gurley and let the corners go one-on-one. That Xavier Rhodes outside, you know, he could match up one-on-one with any receiver, bring the safety up in the box, and go from there. Gurley still might do damage, Corey, but maybe he has one of those, you know, 85 rushing yards and one touchdown. And I think you could get that from other guys down the list this week on DraftKings that are $2,000-$3,000 less.
I agree. You know what I'm saying? Mix 100%. There is running back options better than Todd Gurley this week. Got a lot of things going. I don't want to say a lot of things. He's got a lot of things going for him, but I can definitely see the arguments you make of fading Gurley this week. The Buffalo Bills are home with a healthy Tyrod Taylor versus the Miami Dolphins. This is a very intriguing AFC matchup to me right here. And I think there's some fantasy value in this game also, Chris. 44, it feels like Tyrod at home can get it going against Miami, but I also feel like Miami, on the other hand, the way they've been playing recently, you know, you got to like your guys. Of course, you start your studs, Jarvis, Rashard Matthews also. Jordan Cameron is, I don't really understand that. But even against that tough Buffalo defense, I wouldn't get off Lamar Miller this week in DFS.
All right, I'll disagree with you on that, Corey.
Buffalo at home. You like Buffalo?
I like Buffalo at home off the bye. The defense is getting healthy. They're getting a couple guys back, rested. I think, you know, the Buffalo defense, if you drafted them, they've been a disappointment this year. No doubt about it. Lamar Miller last week bombed. You know, luckily he got that touchdown, that little 1 yard touchdown to save his owners from having basically a 2-point game or whatever. But, you know, I was really loving Lamar Miller, like we talked about last week, for the rest of the season. I think I want to sit out one more week on him before I go back in on Lamar Miller for the rest of the year. So that's just my preference. I don't know. I just see this as one of those AFC East games where it's, you know, a 20-14 game, and, you know, the Buffalo defense does it, you know, does what they want with Miami's, you know, run game. Tannehill looked so bad last week, Corey. This guy's taking a major
step
back.
He looked like Tannehill. A lot of the people was on this guy coming into the season. I don't have him not one single place, and I haven't played him in the DFS contest this week, this year. Yeah, exactly. But I do have a lot of Jarvis Landry, who has not exploded like, you know, we thought he would coming into the season, but still very steady, very solid. We saw him get in the end zone. That definitely helped out the situation a lot, Chris. Rest of the way, who would you rather have, Jarvis Landry or Stephon Diggs?
That's a good comparison, Corey. This guy Diggs is on fire. I'll stick with Landry. I really will. I'll stick with Landry just because I think he'll be a little more consistent, and he's just a target monster. But then again, so is Diggs. So tough comparison, Corey, but real close. I want them both the rest of the way, to be honest with you.
No doubt. I agree with you. Two players I like a lot also.
I'm buying both of them. You don't have Diggs, you said, or?
I don't have Diggs nowhere, but I got Landry a lot of places.
Yeah, I like Landry. I mean, hopefully he could get in the end zone like he was last year. You know, he had that huge game a couple weeks ago, so hopefully you see more of that. But, hey, he needs his quarterback. He needs Tannehill. You know, each week these guys are consistent. Rashard Matthews and Jarvis Landry, these are the top two guys in that offense, and everyone else is pretty much an afterthought.
No doubt. You nailed it on that one. Buffalo Bills side of the football. Poor Tyrod Taylor. What's the latest with Sammy Watkins? What is he? Is he retired? You know what I'm saying? Is he on Instagram complaining? Is he practicing? What is the deal with Sammy Watkins?
Sammy Watkins is going to play this week, Corey. And I'm shocked because when he got hurt in that game in Buffalo on the touchdown catch, if you remember, I was like, man, this guy's done. He's done either for the season or he's out for 6-8 weeks, you know, a long time. And he's back. He's back. He's back on the practice field. So I'd expect to see him. Now, whether you can trust him or not is a different story. But, you know, I think if you have him, you got to play him, right? I mean, he's probably your number two wide receiver. So
his team's going to buy this week. If he plays, if he's active, he's going to be in 80% of the lineup.
That's another
12-team league.
Absolutely. I mean, look at all the teams that are on buys this week. And, I mean, you're losing Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd, John Brown, the Texans, no Hopkins, Lions, no Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate, the Chiefs, you have no Mack. Yeah, I mean, it's carnage. 16, I hate the 16 bye weeks. I really hate them, Corey. And they always come right in that middle of the right in crunch time in week 9 or 10. The NFL always does this. I mean, just keep it consistent. If you want to do the four teams every week for 6 weeks in a row or whatever the hell it is, you know, do that. I hate team bye weeks. It just wipes out the week. Like, it makes it look so ugly. You're going to see the ugliest lineups between six teams on a bye and all the injuries. You're going to see the ugliest starting lineups across fantasy this week in your leagues than you will all season long.
Not to mention the fact to go along with the injuries and a lot of plays that we thought we could count on, we can't count on, definitely makes for one of the rougher lineup setting weeks in fantasy football, recent memory, if you want to put it like that. Speaking of recent memory,
it's not the time for it, it's not the time for it either, because this is week 9. And if you're in the middle of the pack, you can't afford one of those 90-point weeks that just completely knocks you out of the race for your points. And, you know, it's a terrible time to do it.
No, no doubt. And you trust me, you got up 90 this week, probably score 200 in week 10. And you've been biting your fingernails on that one. You don't have a very lonely and sad Thanksgiving. New England is home to Washington. 52 is the total. Of course, 31 of that is on the New England side of the football. Washington is in a prime position to get blown out this week, Chris. Now, when you look at it from a DFS standpoint, how do you attack the Patriots as far as rostering them in your daily lineups? How much exposure do you want to New England, and where do you want those players at?
I mean, I think in cash games, Corey, you can't go wrong with Brady and Gronkowski, right? I mean, they can do whatever they want this week. But, you know, the rest of the team, Deion Lewis had a great game last week. I mean, listen, Corey, everyone, let's face facts. Everyone listening knows it. I mean, everyone's going to have Patriots littered all across their daily lineups this week. Everyone's going to want a piece of it. They're going to try and get in as many Patriots as they can in their lineup. I think LeGarrette Blount could be a really sneaky play this week. His price is okay. You know, this is one of those games where you could look up at halftime and it's 28-3. And you're getting the LeGarrette Blount show the rest of the, you know, the second half on the ground. You know what? If you pay up for Brady or Gronkowski or even put them in a stack with each other, you're obviously going to have to find some great value of low-priced players at the other positions. But I guarantee you'll
and
see
one
that a
low-priced player that
course.
You can't find, especially on DraftKings,
yeah.
Chris, is Brandon LaFell at
$3,200. Corey, you let the secret out of the bag, buddy.
I don't think it was a secret.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a secret. Everybody that saw that price total and saw that price on Brandon LaFell was like, oh, wait a minute. This is, you know, this is a mistake. This is an 80% owned guy.
Oh, my God. I mean, Corey, I think I made about 10 lineups so far for the week. Brandon LaFell is in all 10.
Yeah.
That just goes to show you. I mean, and he has to be, honestly, because, I mean, look at what you can do if you get a good player like LaFell in the Patriots offense who's coming into his own now. He played 82% of the snaps last week. It's only a matter of time until LaFell has that 7 for 110 in a touchdown game. Probably comes this week. You could get him in your lineup at 32. And get some, like, 3 or 4 other studs surrounding him. Sign me up. You hit it on the head.
You know, he's going to be a centerpiece of value in our lineups this week across the industry, so definitely pay attention to that. And, of course, you know, we really don't really discuss the Patriots much because you start them, you roll them out there, and you hope for the best. The other side of the football, Dez Bryant broke his foot in week 1. And he was back on the field in week 8. DeSean Jackson strained his hamstring, I believe it was right before week 1. He makes his debut in week 9. And I don't understand. Like, listen, I don't have him on no teams. And even if I saw him on the waiver wire, I wouldn't pick him up.
Once again, I'm lucky with you, Corey. I'm a DeSean Jackson hater every year in season-long drafts. So he hasn't been on my team in a long time, and he won't be. And this is one of the reasons for it. But it's been a disaster if you're a DeSean Jackson owner. I mean, first quarter of week 1 versus the Dolphins, I remember I'm watching the game, and boom, he's on the sideline, hamstring. You don't see him again. 2 weeks ago, he was getting ready to make his comeback. The day before in practice, he retweets the hamstring. Now he's out another couple weeks, and now here we are week 9 when, you know, maybe he comes back this week. You know, he says he's playing. So here he is. I would hesitate to put him right in my lineup, but, hey, you might not have an option with all the bye weeks and injuries, so you might have to throw him in there.
I'm still playing Jameson Crowder in my season-long leagues with DeSean Jackson back. And a healthy Jordan Reed. I think him and Kirk Cousins have something going. Listen, he is a target guy. He may see less with Jackson out there, But still, he's been on the field. He's been playing. He's been developing that chemistry with Cousins. Well, Jackson is really Johnny come lately off a bad hamstring. I'm continuing to roll him out there. I do think there's got to be some kind of DFS value in this game. Maybe it's one of the pass catchers back. I can't think of the young man's name right now. Not the dude that had the, you know, the
Thompson,
the Mirage.
Chris Thompson.
Yes,
Chris
Thompson.
Or Matt Jones. Thompson.
I'm not talking about Matt Jones. I know Matt Jones was the Mirage.
Yeah. Corey, I think you're onto something. I think I really haven't thought about that much, but this team's going to be throwing to play catch up, you know, this game, this whole game, you got to figure. And who knows, maybe this turns into one of those games where the Patriots win like 45-31 and the Redskins, before you know it, they have all these, you know, catch up points. This is the first time they'll probably have everybody in their offense for the first time all year. Garcon, DeSean Jackson, Jordan Reed has been putting up monster numbers. He's a top five tight end when healthy, which is almost like never. But here he is. He's healthy. Yeah, here he is. And you know, like you said, throwing Jameson Crowder. So Cousins has the weapons. You know, does he have the weapons to keep up with Brady? You know, I don't know. But, hey, you know, that's the type of game we're playing here. We're trying to. You know, we're playing fantasy football, and the garbage time points and the catch-up points are just as good as playing from end points.
Yep, those points certainly do count. A night like tonight, a humongous waiver wire night. Yeah. A lot of people, Chris, even in the leagues that we play in, are going to go to the wire and going to see Alfred Morris, and they're not going to put not one single dime on him.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy, Corey, because I did spot Alfred Morris's name in a handful of leagues as I was doing all my waivers this week, and I didn't bid on him. And I'm like,
no, why would you?
Yeah, you know what? It's like, what am I just going to go put, you know, a couple bucks, you know, go blow money on this guy for what? I mean, he's useless at this point, and I'd stay away. I mean, if you want to dollar make you holler, but I wouldn't even use
dollar.
The buck probably. Yeah,
nope,
keep
it's not
keep
even
the
it's
buck.
Not even worth the buck. Yeah, pick up
a kick.
Keep
the buck, buddy.
Whatever the case may be.
Yeah, go
whatever
buy
the case
something.
May be. How about the Carolina Panthers at 7-0? They get the Green Bay Packers, and Green Bay coming off that loss to Detroit. Green Bay goes on the road for another tough matchup. Green Bay actually a road favorite in this one against Carolina. 26 is the projected total. Green Bay a 3-point road favorite. People are sleeping on the Carolina Panthers, and maybe they don't like Aaron Rodgers taking back-to-back losses. Two men, I think Carolina is real. But you saw how the Denver Broncos ran the football on them last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, that can happen again this week. With Jonathan Stewart and Cam Newton, Chris. And this right here, I think I want a piece of this Carolina Panther offense. Me and Ted Ginn. Oh, my goodness. I had Ted Ginn.
Oh, you see, I thought of you.
Football.
Corey, I thought of you the other night when Ted Ginn dropped that game-winning bomb touchdown. Oh, my God, I thought of you. And I said, oh, this is why I tell him, don't go back to Ted Ginn. He's got stone hands.
Ted Ginn, hands of stone, or as Scott Engel called him this morning, Ted Ginn. I tell you what, oh man, that's a tough one right there. That could have definitely, he catches that pass right there, Chris. I'm looking good in a lot of places, but unfortunately, it didn't happen that way. But I like the usuals in Carolina, and these guys are getting it done. Stewart is getting it done. Olsen is getting it done. Well, again, in Philly Brown, forget about it. But Cam is getting it done.
You mentioned everybody
getting it done in that offense or getting it done.
You mentioned everybody. This offense, you don't want anybody else other than Cam, Jonathan Stewart, and Greg Olsen. I love all three in this game. I think the line is telling you, you know, what to expect. Nice total at 47, Corey. The Packers defense is banged up all over the place. Jonathan Stewart at 4,300 is a must, I think, in this game. I think I'm locking him in a ton of my lineups. Love the situation. The Broncos ran all over the Packers, like you said. I expect Carolina to do the same. On the Green Bay side of the ball, here's what's funny, Corey. I was looking at this game, and I was like, I really don't want, other than Jonathan Stewart and Greg Olsen, I really don't want to use anybody else in this whole game. Carolina's D is playing great. I don't trust James Jones or Davante Adams in this game. I don't know who Josh Norman will line up on, but this guy's one of the top three corners now in football, just wiping top receivers off the map. I think he'll eat up either James Jones or Davante Adams or both, you know, whoever he takes his chance a piece on. I got to tell you, I think the Packers wind up winning this game. I think the spread is telling you that, and I don't think Rodgers is going to let them lose two in a row, especially to a team that could go two games up on them. I just don't know how he's going to do it. I don't see much success from any of these guys. I think maybe Randall Cobb has a good game, finally, out of the slot in this game. But I wouldn't use any Packers, really, in daily this week. And other than Olsen and Stewart on the other side of the ball, and I guess if you want to use Cam Newton, I don't know. What's Cam Newton's price, Corey, this week? What's he priced at? Do you know off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, no, I do not know what Cam Newton's salary is this week, but get that information. And I don't really know if he's a player I'm really on this week. I like a lot of big men at the quarterback position this week. And then, you know, I'll mix and match some of my favorites that I go to on a consistent basis. I don't know how much exposure I'm going to have to Cam this week. Green Bay wins this game, they have to win this game with Aaron Rodgers. And maybe Aaron Rodgers is the contrarian quarterback to own this week on the road.
Great. I just see him getting it done in Carolina. Maybe whoever Norman isn't on, that's who he takes advantage of and picks on all day long. Maybe he uses Richard Rodgers a little more and Randall Cobb out of the slot. Rodgers is, you know, top of the game right now at the quarterback position. He'll get it done. Carolina on a short week. The defense started leaking some holes at the end of the game versus Andrew Luck and the Colts the other night. So, not one of the games I want to go heavy on, though, Corey and Daly this week.
No doubt. And I agree with you on that one right there also. San Francisco in Atlanta is the next contest. This is a 4 o'clock start this Sunday afternoon. So got a nice little – you got more 4 o'clock games this week. Thank goodness. Well, this may not be one of the more appealing.
Yeah, only three, though.
It's only three, right? Yeah. San Francisco at home, 7-point dog to the Falcons. 45 is the total on this one. You want to see the Falcons get their weapons going. Matt Ryan has been a disappointment so far this season.
Total disappointment, Clark. We said it. Here's the funny thing. I expected him at least last week versus Tampa at home to finally get going. I did use him in a lot of lineups. Real life, he struggled. Fantasy wise, at the end of the game, he had almost 400 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. His numbers were good, you know, and that's really all we care about. But real life, he's still struggling. He didn't look good at all. He was trailing. He had like 3 points still, Atlanta's offense, midway through the third quarter versus Tampa. They wind up making a real big comeback towards the end of the game, you know, to save them. But other than that, Ryan's still struggling, but he's got another great matchup here to try and take advantage of going out west to San Francisco and playing that complete mess of a team, the San Francisco 49ers.
Do you play Atlanta's defense in DFS against Blaine Gabbert?
At their price this week, they're the second highest defense on the board at 3,400, I believe. I really don't want to use them that much. I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people will be using them. I think it's a good, you know, chance to shy away from it, go kind of against the grain. You know, if I could get a Broncos defensive unit, which is by far the top unit in football, versus a struggling offense in the Colts, and I get them for $400 cheaper. So give me the better unit in a team like the Broncos over the Falcons for me.
How are the San Francisco 49ers going to score points this week?
Corey, I don't know. I mean, it's the whole team is looking terrible. But it's funny, we talked about this today, and, you know, you never know when a team gets, and don't get me wrong, Gabbert and Kendall Gaskins, whatever his name is. No, we don't even know. Who the hell is the guy, you know? these guys are nobodies. But you never know when a team, you know, changes their players up and everything. There's really not much tape on them. They come out. Before you know it, you know, they're off to a good start, and the teams really don't know what to expect out of as these guys. I don't know, Corey. Is Atlanta's defense a good play this week? Probably, but I don't want to pay that money for them this week.
I can see it going either way, and I agree with you on that one. Atlanta's too risky, especially on the road against a team that may rally around their quarterback because they seem like they hate Colin Kaepernick.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying, Corey. You hit it on the head. The team might be energized. You know, the whole team, you know, the rumors, you know, swirling that the whole team was asking for Kaepernick to get benched, and deservingly so, the guy was terrible. You know, who knows? Maybe the receivers have more of a rapport with Gabbert, and Gabbert's a better thrower probably than Kaepernick, you know, as bad as Gabbert is. Kaepernick's just terrible. So, you know, who knows? Maybe the offense gets a little shot in the arm and they go, but a little too unpredictable for me.
No doubt. Your New York Giants played one of the worst defensive games in the history of football this past week.
And I loved every minute of it.
They are a 2-point favorite against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 48, nice big fantasy-friendly game in this contest right here. And you talked about it last week that, you know, it was – things were looking bleak for Manning and Odell, but you knew at some point it was going to start to click, and it did happen to happen this past week.
Absolutely. And like I said, Corey, I loved every minute of that Giants-Saints game because that was a fantasy dream right there with Eli and Odell Beckham and everything. It's funny – we got together for the Mets game last Friday, and me, you, and Tommy G, our friend, were sitting around, and, Tommy G goes, Chris, who are you in on this week all in? And I was like, I'm all in on Julio Jones. I think he's going to have a monster game. And he's like, all right, Julio's your guy. I was like, who's your guy? He's like, Odell Beckham is my guy. So I was like, all right, well, you know, let's see. And they both had the two biggest games of the week. But what's funny is that was my line. I started every lineup last week with Julio and Odell Beckham and built around those two guys. So that led to, you know, a really successful week in daily for me last week. But, Corey,
well, that makes clear,
this team,
but I sat there with my ears open for that conversation also. And I said Sunday morning, I was like, let's make a team with Julio and Odell. And I threw down McFadden in it for good measure, too. So,
sure.
You know,
yep.
That one right there paid off big time. That was over on FanDuel. I didn't get a chance to do it before lineup block on DraftKings. So, but, you know, this is the things that we go through as fantasy owners throughout the course of the weekend. That's why we are, you know, sitting here doing this program right now. But when you look at this
Sunday's
contest.
I just wish the quarterback position last week, didn't kill me. Because the other positions I really had nailed at the tight end, receiver, and running back positions, but Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I didn't pay up for the quarterbacks last week. I thought there was real potential in lower-priced quarterbacks like those two. And, even with them, you know, my teams on DraftKings were over 200, high 190s, even with Fitzpatrick and Dalton there. So let's try and get it all together this week. But back to that Giants-Bucks game. Corey, this could be another high-scoring game. Two defenses that suck. And you know what? Some talent on both sides of the ball. And who knows? Maybe this is, you know, the total is telling you, you know, there could be some nice points scored here. Let's see who gets going. I think Eli and Odell could go right back to the well and have big games.
No doubt. Both of those players in the mix. Looking like they'll have high ownership, and those guys have a strong opportunity to get going. Don't forget about Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, Austin Safarian Jenkins this week also. Go right back to that well. Doug Martin in the mix too. So this is a game where you want your players involved. Monitor the status of Austin Safarian Jenkins. He can come in and surprise right off the top. So So far, so good. This one right here, we go right back to it. The Giants' running game offers nothing, though. That's the only thing about this.
Right.
The Giants' running game offers nothing. That is Eli Manning, Odell Beckham Jr. in the passing game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you completely throw away the Giant running game. There's really not much. Rashad Jennings is going to give you his 50 yards usually every week. And other than that, you know, well, actually, Corey, you know, Shane Vereen had a great game last week. You know, maybe this is another game where you can't trust him, though. You know the deal with Shane Vereen. You know the deal with Shane Vereen. You put him in your lineup, he gives you a one. You know, you don't use him, he gives you that 20. So, you know, good luck guessing with that. People will probably go in on Vereen. His price is pretty good. People probably go to him and say, oh, look what he did last week, and he's playing another bad defense this week. He's a PPR back. Let me use him. And he'll probably, you know, crap the bed with a 3 or 4. But, you know, you mentioned all the guys you want in this game. I'd fire up Eli and Odell. And on the other side, Doug Martin's got a great matchup. People are running at will now against the Giants each and every week. He's a great, great play. Doug Martin this week is 5,700. He's like middle of the pack, you know, but for a guy that's going to get a ton of touches, that, you know, you could do a lot worse. So, and just like you said, I keep my eye on that Austin Safarian Jenkins. You could get him at, I think, like 2,500, 2,700 at tight end position. And if he plays, I don't expect to see Vincent Jackson this week again. He's not practicing. So he would step right in as the number two option, and the Giants can't stop the tight end position. So I'd fire him up across the board in lineups.
Yep, definitely fantasy friendly right there. Another big time matchup this weekend: the Denver Broncos in Indianapolis take on the Colts. Denver 5-point road favorite. 45 is the projected run total. Projected point total in this one. This is the Denver Broncos defense. This is the running game has gotten it going. I like Demaryius Thomas. I love Demaryius Thomas this week. Demaryius Thomas is quietly having a very good season. The touchdowns are not there like we normally expect, but he is leading and he's one of the league leaders in reception, targets, yardage. Demaryius Thomas getting it done, and he has an opportunity right here against Indianapolis Colts to really get it done. No matter what the secondary situation is for the Colts, Chris, I just think that Thomas is just too athletic, too strong, too kind of doing things in his own will. Him and Peyton have it rolling. And then, of course, the Ronnie Hillman in that running game, this sets up very nicely for the Denver Broncos offensively.
Yeah, I would be investing in the Broncos offense this week. I might even use a little Peyton Manning, believe it or not, Corey. He's starting to – he looked good last week. He won't be highly owned, but, hey, going back into Indy, that defense is garbage. And, they're banged up on that defensive unit also. And they don't have anybody to stop Demaryius Thomas right now. Like you said, he's having a sneaky – he's starting to really pick it up and putting together some really good numbers, Demaryius Thomas. At backfield, though, Corey, I think it got a little more confusing again this past week.
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree with that.
CNC day run like that was not – if you're a Ronnie Hillman owner, you like that both of them was able to get off. But to see CJ back, your eyes are thinking, wow, if I could have had all of this for Hillman, we're talking about a top-10 fantasy back the rest of the way.
Yeah, and as a Hillman owner, I was all pumped up for that game last week. I was expecting, one of those 80% to 20%, shares with Hillman just being like the real lead back. And C.J. Anderson just getting sprinkled in every now and then to spell him. But it didn't work out that way. And when Anderson was in, he looked really good. It was probably a wake-up call for him, like, hey, now I lost my starting job, and now I got to go back and get it. So I think his game last week, being so good, kept him back in the mix. And this, is going to be one of these, in and out, each guy coming in and out of the game, which is not what you want to see. If you're going to use one of them in daily, you'd rather have a guy that is getting the majority of the touches. But with that being said, at their prices this week, Hillman's 4,600, I think. C.J. Anderson's 4,100. you know, if you want to guess and pick the right one, you know, the prices are pretty good, and I think they can both have successful games.
Yep, and I agree with you on that. And one thing that I think about, obviously, one of them, like you said, you have to take that gamble and take that risk. Emmanuel Sanders, also a player in the mix, too, this week. And the Peyton Manning call is not bad either, because it could definitely happen with Manning, and, you know, he's got those talented wide receivers. When you look at the Colts side of the football, the NFL in me is just like, oh, man, this could get ugly this week. I mean, we could have a situation where the Colts are getting booed by their home fans because this is also defense is the real deal. And injured Andrew Luck is not no match for this team in prime time with Peyton Manning and the crew coming in the building.
Corey, I'm so confused with this Colts team, I don't even know what to do with them anymore. And I'm not just talking just Andrew Luck, because believe it or not, we even talked about it on the show last week that all my Andrew Luck teams are backed up by Andy Dalton, and I didn't even, by the time the weekend came, it wasn't even like a tough decision for me. I benched Andrew Luck across the board and went with Dalton. So, of course, it backfires on me in a great matchup versus the Steelers with Dalton. Dalton winds up giving 14 points. Luck, I'm thinking the whole game, wow, at least I made the right move. He's got a zero. This guy winds up with about 22 points at the end of the week, at the end of the game with all the points he put up late in the fourth quarter. But he looked so bad for 3.5 quarters. The offense looked so bad. I mean, I was like, this whole offense is unplayable, you know. And then the last 5 minutes of the game, they take off, and all of a sudden they're going up and down the field. So I don't know what to expect anymore with this team, Corey. Maybe you know. Maybe you see it better than me. Now, I don't know what to do with this team anymore.
It's a question mark. It's an absolute question mark. And I think I just got to fade them right now because, you know, I like the prices. I like the members. I like the pieces. But not this week. This right here, even playing from behind, this right here is not a good matchup for them. I can't even find any garbage time points in this one, so I'm fading Indianapolis Colts this upcoming week, Christian.
I agree. I'd fade the whole team. The teams that I have Frank Gore on, he's on my bench. There's no way I would play Frank Gore against that rush defense of the Broncos. Here's another thing, Corey. The news came out a couple of hours ago. T.Y. Hilton's dealing with a sprained foot.
That's right.
And now he had to go for an MRI. I mean, that's not something you want to hear. and T.Y. Hilton is probably your number one or two wide receiver on your fantasy team, but he's up against a terrible matchup, and he's got a sprained foot. So how can you trust him and play him this week? You know,
Philip Dorsett might Andrew get some Luck for the Indianapolis Colts, but definitely, once again, not a situation that is ideal.
Corey, Phil Dorsett's out 6 weeks, though, buddy. So, he's not going to catch it from his couch, that's for sure. But you know what? he might have more success from his couch, though, than these guys will on the field. You know what? This offense, though, when you watch that game these last couple weeks, they're just 5-yard passes. Luck doesn't throw down the field. Colby Fleener's, like, actually playable now. You know, Fleener's the guy benefiting that more than anybody. But, you know what, it's really crazy. I couldn't have been more wrong, you know. I think injuries affecting everything, Corey.
It's injuries. Andrew Luck.
It is injury.
If you're Andrew Luck owner this season, it's not because of Andrew Luck regressed and now he's this poor quarterback. And that Indianapolis offense can't do nothing to save him or that system. They sacrificed Pat Hamilton this week, but he was sacrificed because Andrew Luck is hurt, and this is unfortunate that he's out there playing when he's in the situation that he's in. The Dallas Cowboys.
I hate that
Eagles
people. I'm sorry, Corey. I hate hearing everybody saying that Luck is healthy, he's fine, there's nothing wrong with him, and everything like that. It's just not true. Andrew Luck is the elite quarterback in the NFL with the Rodgers and Brady's. We've seen what he can do these last couple of years. If you went all in on the Colts offense and Andrew Luck especially, you're not wrong. You know, this guy is hurt. He's playing with an injury that hopefully after the season they reveal really what it is. I know Jay Glazer says broken ribs right now, and he's got a shoulder issue. The guy is hurt. So if you think you made a bad pick, you didn't. Like you said, Corey, it's just, you know what this is going to do, though, Corey, and I wanted to ask you. Next year's draft, I'm going right back all in on Andrew Luck, and he probably won't even be a top three-round, four-round pick. And I'll go right back to him
Andrew Luck next year in the fifth, sixth round of draft.
Oh, God.
I'm talking about, oh, my goodness. I mean, the way you could put a team together like that. And it's the quarterback position because more than likely, you're making it without your quarterback this year. More than likely, if you're a Stafford, a Manning, a Romo, a Big Ben, you've had stretches where you didn't have your quarterback anyway. An Andrew Luck guy, you know, outside of Rodgers, you know, and Brady, who people were drafting in as a backup because of the Deflategate. So it's not like you had this big-time great quarterback play anyway. Wilson has been a disappointment amongst others. So
Everyone. Even Rodgers has been.
Ryan's been a disappointment.
Yeah, I remember I even heard someone say, you know, Blake Bortles only has two less fantasy points this year than Aaron Rodgers does.
And you know how we love Blake Bortles. And the next guy we're going to talk about with this next matchup for Monday Night Football, Dallas Cowboys, their quarterback situation, Tony Romo, Matt Castle, Brandon Weeden, you already know the situation in Dallas. It may not be much better on the other side of the football because Sam Bradford isn't getting the job done. Sam Bradford is on waiver wire. Sam Bradford is attached to benches, and so is Jordan Matthews. Philadelphia Eagles offense, Chip Kelly's system, going into week 9, they haven't got it clicking yet.
I mean, another game that I'm interested to watch, Corey, and just see what happens with these two teams. I mean, I don't know whether it'll be a 10-7 game or a 30-27 game. I don't know what to expect from this game. You don't know what Bradford and the Eagles offense is bringing to the table. You don't know if – I mean, you got to assume Castle sucks again. But, I mean, who would you use daily-wise besides Darren McFadden in this game? I mean, would you want to pay up for the DeMarco Murray, you know – return game? Would you want to use him?
That's the only one I would even consider. I would consider Murray. I'll probably have some exposure to Murray this week in the revenge game. Now, as far as Jordan Matthews goes, oh, man. His price would have to be
You going
to
get burned again? I mean, you're going to get burned again? I know. I hear you. But at the end of the night, when Jordan Matthews is giving you another 3-for-32 game and you're texting me telling me, I can't believe I went back to this bum again, you're going to hate yourself, right?
No doubt. What about this?
Dez
Bryant. Dez Bryant in DFS this week.
Wow, I really haven't put much
number, the ownership numbers would be in your favor because Matt Castle sucks. We saw what he did against Philadelphia last year.
Absolutely.
That last game, he went absolutely crazy on that team. Now, number 9 was the quarterback then.
Yeah, big difference.
Now was Matt Castle. So, a calculated risk, maybe a small amount of exposure, one or two tournament lineups, just to be safe.
Tournament, yeah.
You know, yeah. Just to be safe.
Yeah, tournament.
But for the most part, not a building block. But I could see putting a $5 play action or whatever the case may be, and, you know, maybe do a couple multi-entries, you know, a couple bucks and throw Dez around a little bit out there.
Yeah, but, Corey, let me ask you this. And I really – you brought this up, but I really haven't put much thought into using Dez Bryant at all, so I guess I just overlooked him and moved on and everything. But isn't he a top 5 price on drafting?
That's the thing, his price came down.
See, that's the thing. I mean, if you're telling me you're giving me Dez Bryant at a discount, like in that 55,000-6,000 range, because he's been out all year and he's just coming back and he's But I gotta pay Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown prices, AJ Green for Dez. Not yet, buddy. I can't do it. You know.
definitely can see where you're coming from on that right there. So
mm-hmm.
he's one of the players, like you said, that price point keeps him down. But Darren McFadden, DeMarco Murray, I think the running backs in this football game are intriguing. Other than that, really nothing much to see here, especially out of the Dallas Cowboys passing game, because it's not even worth the investment. Moving right along, our last game of the weekend, Chris, another fantasy-friendly game on a Monday night. A lot of lineups, a lot of people are going to be, you know,
yep.
saying the end to this season-long season off. A lot of guys are going to be like, okay, I survived another week. Get ready to rock and roll into the playoffs, or, you know, continue that playoff push strong. And it's going to hinge on the Chicago Bears and the San Diego Chargers. And you know what? I'm getting down with Jay Cutler. I'm down with Jay Cutler going on the road
wow.
on Monday night against the Chargers defense. I think Cutler comes out. Alshon Jeffrey and Cutler, they get it going each and every week. Step right into that role vacated by Brandon Marshall. Kind of felt like he was going to be able to do that. Jeremy Langford is going to be in some lineups this week. Fantasy-friendly competition, fantasy-friendly matchup. And I think the Bears, them being terrible defensively does not – it makes it better for Cutler in the offense. There's no real expectations for the Chicago Bears. So, you know, it's not like Cutler has to lead this team to the NFC North title. Cutler really is just going out there as a fantasy quarterback, man.
Yeah, and you know, I talk about it every week about how him and Adam Gase are really putting it together as a combo, you know, quarterback, offensive coordinator, and it's working for them. And he's got his stud number one back with Alshon Jeffrey. But I see where you're going with this, Corey. I like the total, 49. You're going to have some good weather. Don't forget, these two guys are rivals, and they don't like each other, Rivers and Cutler. They all, you know, they got that feud going with each other from when they played in the AFC West against each other.
Yes.
And, you know, they're going to maybe, you know, hopefully they get into a little gunslinging back and forth in this game. You got two bad defenses. You got a recipe for a good fantasy game here, you know. The only bad news is you took so much talent away on both sides of the ball for both quarterbacks, with Rivers and the Chargers losing Keenan Allen, their number one receiver. The Bears losing Matt Forte, you know, a guy who caught the ball out of the backfield a lot. Not that he's done much, but Eddie Royal's banged up. I don't think he's going to play. With Jeffrey and Martellus Bennett, you mix in a little Marquise Wilson. This game could go back and forth, though, like I said, Corey. You know, there's no doubt about it. I do like a lot of options in this game. You know, the Charger running backs, Danny Woodhead coming off of a bad game.
Oh, what happened to our boy Danny Woodhead last week?
Oh, my God. You know what? He's been so great all year long, and last week you thought it would be another good game for him, you know, against a team that they would need to throw on. It just didn't happen. And you know what? To be honest with you, he's not on the field as much as he was, you know, the first month and a half of the season. And, you know, that's befuddling to me. Melvin Gordon's been getting a lot more playing time these last couple of weeks. I don't know if they're trying to get him kickstarted or whatever. But they were also mixing in Brandon Oliver now as a three-headed, you know, backfield. The good news about that is Brandon Oliver just got put on IR yesterday. So he's out of the mix. So that's good news for Danny Woodhead and Melvin Gordon owners, and if you want to use them both or one of them in daily this week, because at least they're going to be playing a lot more and being on the field getting more snaps. So I'd go right back to Woodhead in this game, and I love Melvin Gordon at 4,000. He's playing a ton right now, and he also has been catching the ball out of the backfield. So at that price, I like both of them. And then you mentioned earlier the Malcolm Floyd, Stevie Johnson, you know, at receiver. One of them is going to have a pretty good game, I would think, in this game. But Antonio Gates, if you want to play up a tight end, you can't go wrong with him in this game.
No doubt, and that was going to be the question I asked you, is somebody in this passing game not named Antonio Gates is going to play a nice role. Is that going
yeah.
to be Woodhead? Is that going to be Johnson? Or is that going to be Malcolm Floyd? Or maybe even possibly Dontrell Inman, who I will not have no
yeah.
support to,
Inman,
you know, just for, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I mean, the Inman pick is a real sneaky tournament play if you want to, you know, take the shot on him. But, you know, he's pretty much the fifth option, really, with Woodhead. I could see Woodhead, you know, the targets and the receptions have to go somewhere now that Keenan Allen's gone. I think it goes more to, you know, Woodhead will be getting targeted out of the backfield more. Consistency now. I don't know, Corey. Stevie Johnson's got a little bit of a nicked up shoulder. So if he's healthy, I would prefer him over Malcolm Floyd. But if that game comes and Stevie Johnson has to sit out, I would really like Malcolm Floyd in this game.
No doubt you have to, because Phil Rivers just drops back and throws and throws and throws and throws and throws. And the Chicago Bears are not really going to put up much of a fight on the defensive end. Well, that is it for week 9 of the TakeOver, Chris. We're getting ready to get into the power weeks right now, where the point totals have to start getting high to get the averages up there so you can go ahead and make your run for glory. And, you know, hey, it is what it is at this point. You cannot not set the lineup because of the injuries. Good luck to everybody in the waiver wire tonight. Thanks a lot, Chris. Any last words?
No, good luck, everybody, and hopefully you drop that 200 this week, you know, that we're all shooting for at this point in the season.
No doubt, 200 is the rule going into the week. Thanks for listening to TakeOver. We'll be back for week 10.